Colossians chapter 4. That'd be where we start this morning. But we're going to be going through a lot of scripture. Title of my message this morning is Answer the Call. And you say, I know what he's going to talk about, the calling of God. Not so fast. Not so fast. See, the point of my message this morning is this. We, as believers, we as Christians, we as disciples need to be ready to give an answer. And in way of introduction, I want to give us three passages. The first one is in Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Paul is in prison. You know, when things go adversely against us, things go against us, we tend to want to give up and say, this is not worth it. But Paul was consumed with telling people about Jesus. He says, I have an unction from the Holy One. He says, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. And so in Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 6, Paul asked them to pray for him. He says, withal, praying also for us. Now, what was Paul praying for? That Paul could do the commission that God had given him. That Paul could spread the gospel. He says that God would open unto us a door of utterance. What does utterance mean? It means to speak. Paul is asking people to pray for an opportunity to talk to people. Folks, we need to pray as a church for one of us, for all of us to have an opportunity to talk to people. What's the message? The next part, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. What's the mystery of Christ? That Christ was God in the flesh, that Christ died on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, and that he offers eternal life to all who would believe. That's the mystery. That he would change your life. He changed Paul's life. He couldn't stop talking about it. Verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. See that blind man? He couldn't help to say, I was blind, now I can see, and Jesus did it. For us, I was lost on my way to hell. I met Jesus, he saved me, and now I'm going to heaven. You can't take that away. That's the mystery. That's what Paul wanted to preach. He says, I want you to pray for me, that I have an opportunity to preach this. And in verse 5, he says, and then he's telling them, he says, okay, now, Colossae church, do this. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Who's the without? Those outside the church. There's a lost and dying world out there. They need to hear Jesus. We've all experienced Jesus, or I hope you have. If not, you need to today. We need to tell those outside about this. Redeeming the time, because the time is working, running out. You know, how many times do we like to procrastinate? We have opportunity thinking that there's opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. No, we need to take opportunity as it presents itself to present the gospel. That's the church's responsibility. He's changed us. We need to help him change others. And then verse 6 is the point of this passage. Let your speech be always with grace. All of your speech. What's grace? Something that only God can give. It's not what you say over supper. Okay? Grace is what God gives us. He saves us by grace. He makes us work for Him by grace. We need to speak by grace, seasoned with salt. And Christ's first message, He says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its saltiness or its savor, it's good for nothing. And men will trample on it. Folks, it's time to speak up. Right. It's time to make manifest the mystery of the gospel of Christ. Seasoned with grace. Why? Why? Here's the point. That ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. See, when Nehemiah heard about Jerusalem. And he went to the king to ask for an opportunity to... He prayed every time. Christ says, he says, I want to put you before kings and before magistrates. He says, you don't take any thought about what you're going to say. God's going to give it to you. But folks, you need to be following God for that to work.
Right.
You need to be living in God's grace. We need to be ready to give an answer. So that's Paul writing to the church at Colossae. This is Peter writing to the church in general. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. See, there's some conditions first. First of all, you got to choose your words. You got to choose why you're speaking. He says, but sanctify or set apart or make it holy in your hearts, the Lord God in your hearts, and be what?
Ready.
Ready always. That means all the time, folks. All the time. Redeeming the time. To give an answer to what? Every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. See, the folks, we need to pray for one another. We need to pray for opportunities. We need to have our speech ready and going the right way. Then we need to have our heart ready to give this answer. And then we need to have our mind ready to give an answer. In Titus chapter 1 verse 9, Paul is mentoring Titus. And he's talking about being a pastor. The verse ahead of it talks about what a bishop should be. But then in Titus, in verse 9, it says, holding fast the what? The faithful word as he hath been taught. Folks, in order to speak something, you have to experience it. You have to be taught it. Which means you want to learn it. That he may be able by what? Sound doctrine. Boy, there is so much doctrine going on that's not sound. And people are just chomping it up left and right. That he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. See, there's a lot of people just like those Pharisees back there saying, nah, Christ's not real. What happened to you? That's not real. You just had an emotional experience. No, I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know. These things I have written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. So the issue is, we need to be ready to give an answer. I have the church phone forwarded to my cell phone. And occasionally we get phone calls. And on Friday, I got a phone call and it was forwarded in. I didn't get to it, so I called this individual back. And after I identified myself as a pastor of the church, this person said, God, I want to ask you a question. Can a homosexual be a member of your church? Now you have the message. Okay? So what do we need to be? We need to be ready to give an answer. We need to be ready to talk about the truth. We need to be ready to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. We need to be ready to sanctify God in our hearts. We need to be ready to give an answer. You know, the simple answer would be no. But you know, we need to be wise also and take time and show God's truth. So this morning my message is basically based off that phone call. And these are the points that I made to this individual, and it's the points that I want to make to the church today about answering the call. You don't know when your phone's going to ring. You don't know when someone's going to walk up to you and ask you a question. Do you have enough knowledge that you can answer this? Are you led by the Spirit? Is your speech seasoned with grace and salt? Folks, we need to redeem the time. The time is coming where the night is coming when no man can work. And so that was the question. And Typically, somebody like that calling a church is a setup. And I figured it was being taped. So be it. We're being taped today. We're being broadcast over the internet. So be it. I want to teach God's truth.
Amen.
Today. And so, my first part of the answer was this. We don't stop anybody from coming through that church door. You could be a homosexual. You could be... The only thing we're going to stop you is you come carrying a gun in here. You're going to cause harm to the body, physical harm. We'll stop that. But as far as someone coming to church, all is welcome.
Amen.
Because you know what? The church needs to have an open door policy. Our lives should be an open door. Paul's life was an open door. He says that he would open a door of utterance to me, so I can speak the mystery of Christ. And this is a tremendous... You ask the question, I'm going to give you the answer. The church has an open door. Everyone can come in. You know why? Because we have an open door with God. In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, there's a letter from Jesus to the seven churches. John's writing all this down. The first couple of churches have some problems with it, and Jesus calls them out on it. But then he comes in chapter 3 and verse 7, and he talks to the church of Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, Christ has no condemnation for it. He only has a commendation. And folks, this is what I want to encourage us to do today. When you answer the call, you've got to answer it in truth. You've got to answer from God's Word.
Right.
And in verse 8 of Revelation 3, it says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. We don't realize as Christians what benefit and what privilege we have. We have direct access to the Creator of the universe.
Amen.
Through His Son, Jesus Christ, who's our mediator. And Christ has set, He says, I've set before you an open door. Folks, we have an open door today in the world. I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. You know something? It's not about us, it's about God. Having our speech seasoned with grace. Always with grace. See, it's God's power. Paul says, I want God's grace to rest on me. Do you want God's grace to rest on you? Christ said this. He says, if you have the faith, the size, a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. There's a lot of things going on in the world today. There's a lost and dying world out there today. It's almost too big of a task. Think about what it was when there's only 12 of them. Or 11 of them, and then they voted one in, and they added to the church. But the issue is think about that. Christ said, you're going to evangelize the whole world. He said, you're going to be witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Wow, what a task. What a privilege. He says, I set before you an open door. You have little strength, but has what? Kept my word. We're going to follow the Bible.
Amen.
We're not going to follow man's philosophy. We're not going to follow what's politically correct. We're going to follow what God's Word says.
Amen.
But the door is open. Because God's given us an open door. And has not denied my name. See, my Bible tells me this. Christ told us, He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. John says, my commandments are not grievous. There are people today that call themselves Christians that are church, and they're allowing sin to be openly rampant in the church. You're denying God's name when you're willfully doing sin.
Right.
Period. You're out of God's will. The church has to have an open door policy because we have an open door with God. We have to have an open door with everyone. Unless you're going to cause physical harm to us. That's a different story. Everybody is welcome. As Christ was going through His ministry, there's large crowds and people wanted to bring little kids to Christ, and the disciples said, go away! We don't want those kids around. How many times? What? I don't want those kids around us. We've all said it, right? But Matthew 19, verse 14 says this. If Jesus says, suffer, allow it to happen. Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. They have as much right to hear the gospel as anybody else.
Right.
Everybody walks through that door has the right to hear the gospel.
Right.
Everybody out there has a right to hear the gospel, and we need to show. We need to share it. In the last chapter of the book of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who's the bride here? It's us. We're the bride of Christ. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Oh, folks, we need to have an open door policy. Are welcome to come to Christ. Are welcome to come to the cross. We need to have an open door policy. We need to have our hearts open to Him. But you know something? For the unbeliever and the believer, that open door is an open door that we must walk through. Christ says in John chapter 6, verse 37, it says, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You want answers, you come to Christ. But you need to believe who He is. You need to listen to what He says. You need to have an open mind. He won't cast you out. But if you reject Him, He'll reject you. Our responsibility is to have an open door. And so my first answer to this person was, everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. But then we got right down to the meat of it. No, a homosexual can't be a church member. Because as church members, what we should do is we should live God's truth. And Christ said, keep my commandments. He gave Old Testament commandments about this. You're welcome to come, but you're not part of the church. Because God has no fellowship with Belial. We're the bodies, we're the temples of the Holy Ghost. And you have no fellowship with the evil of the world. The second thing is the church must stand for the truth. People don't like hearing this today. Other churches are doing it. Well, they're wrong.
Right.
You live by God's word. This is the truth. Pilate said, what is truth? Standing in front of the Messiah. What is truth? Everything that utters from the mouth of God, that's truth, folks. And it doesn't matter whether or not you believe it or not, it's still truth.
Right.
See, those Pharisees said, you weren't born blind. Yeah, I was. I can see. No one could do that. Nope, he did. That's truth, folks. What God does is truth. What God says is truth. What God writes is truth. See, the church must stand for truth because it's in command. We're commanded to do this. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with what? Truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, it's talking about spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, we're fighting. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against spiritual things. The church must stand for truth. If we don't stand for nothing, we'll fall for anything. Secondly, the church must stand in commitment for the truth. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, Moses has died. He's written everything down that God commanded him to do. Joshua had the paper. He had the original. He had the original, folks. He had copy one of the first five books of the Bible. What an awesome thing. And God's telling him, you go in the promised land. He says, this is what you need to do. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. What does that mean? It means we need to speak it. We need to have our speech always with what? Grace, seasoned with salt, sanctified in our heart, with our mind unto Christ, holding fast the faithful word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You need to speak it. You need to think it. You need to live it.
Right.
That thou mayest observe to what? Do according to what you want. What you choose. What you think. What other people say about it. No! To all that is written therein. And sin is sin. And truth is truth.
Amen.
And holiness is holiness.
Amen.
For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. God will bless you. How do you expect God to bless you when you're doing your own thing? How do you expect to be part of a family when you're not part of it? You don't listen to fundamental truth. Homosexuality is a sin. I told this person that. Sin in the Old Testament is a sin in you. You know what? Because what God says in the beginning is the same, because He never changes. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have what? Good success. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights. He doesn't hold anything back. Folks, we've got to stand for the truth. What is sin is sin. What is wrong is wrong. What is right is right. What is true is true. What is holy is holy. We need to do it in command. We need to do it in commitment. We need to do it in conflict. It's always there. It's always there. Those Pharisees, nah, that didn't happen. You know what? He really broke the Sabbath day rules. He couldn't have done anything good. See, secret. There are those that will not hear the truth. Doesn't mean that you don't stop saying it. They're just not going to listen. But it's our responsibility to say it. It's their responsibility to answer it. There's a story in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is in prison. Paul was. And God tells him to write a book. Write a scroll. He says, write everything down. So he says, Brooke, come over here and I want to dictate to you this. I like that. You know, Jeremiah actually delegated the writing thing. You know something? You don't have to do it all yourself. You just have to do it God's way. So Jeremiah writes all this stuff down. And he writes this great big roll of stuff. It's about judgment coming. It's years in the future. But it's because Israel has turned their back on God, the holy people are into sin, violating God's law. Not much different what's going on today. So he writes a book, and Baruch takes it to the temple, and they read it. And everybody goes, whoa! This is Jeremiah the prophet. Oh my, we got to do this. The king needs to hear this. The king needs to hear this. So they take the roll to the king. Say, king, you got to hear what Jeremiah just wrote. And here's what happened. Jehoiakim, the king, took it to heart, right? Wrong. Jeremiah 36, verses 23 through 25, it says, it came to pass. So, this guy by the name of Jehudi is reading this, and the king's listening to it. And he's listening to it. Wait! Stop! I've heard enough! I don't want to hear the truth anymore! And it came to pass when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife. He says, give me that book. I will cut it up. And he spreads it. He puts it in the fire. And cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. You know those words are still truth, no matter what you do to it. Verse 24, yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delaiah and Gemariah had made intercession. Don't burn the book! That's God's word! Folks, there's people burning all sorts of God's word right now. Made intercession of the king. They would not burn the book, but he would not hear them. I got a better plan in mind. You know, it's truth, but I'll just ignore the truth. I burn it all up and it doesn't exist, then it doesn't happen anymore. It's not applying to me. Oh, no. So then he burns the book. He didn't stop there. Jehoiakim says, you go find Baruch and Jeremiah. You bring them to me. I want to kill them. God protects those who proclaim the truth. Look in the very next verse, in verse 26. It says, but the king commanded Jehoiakim, the son of Hamelech, and Seraiah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdil, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them. Couldn't find them. See, there are going to be people that don't want to hear God's truth. But it's still our responsibility to tell God's truth. God will protect us. Third, God protects the truth. Now, God says, burn up the rope, that's it, done. I'm not going to say anything else. That's the way we act, right? You know, you rip up your homework and throw it at the teacher. What's the teacher going to say? You do it over and you get a zero. So, verses 27 and 28 say, no, this is truth. It's not going to change. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, bear. It doesn't matter what you do, God's word is still God's word. You can deny it. You can burn it up. You can get rid of it. You can ignore it. It's still truth. It's still truth. God protects those who proclaim the truth, and God protects the truth. Lastly, God pronounces judgment for rejecting the truth. Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 29-31, it says, and thou shalt say, not only that, you're going to go back to that guy. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, what hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And if that's not enough, verse 31, and I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. God will punish sin. He will by no means clear the guilty. You can't bring sin into the church. Can't. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. So see, we need to stand for the truth in command. We need to stand for the truth in commitment. We need to stand for the truth in conflict. And if we stand for the truth, we will have conquest. In John chapter 8, verse 32, the Bible says this. Christ said this. Oh, by the way, Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is what? Truth. The next thing that the person said, after I said, it's sin. We can't look something, we're going to live by God's word. And we can't let something like that go deliberately unchecked. The next, well, do you have to do conversion therapy? And I said, the only conversion we teach is through Christ. That's the conversion you need. Not man's way of fixing a problem, God's way. God's way. Because my Bible says in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. Free from what? Free from all sin. God takes and forgives all sin. He puts it as deepest part of the sea, as far as the east to west. He's separated our sin from us. Folks, the reason people don't have victory in life is they don't let God work in their lives. Now, there are some times that you have to have medication. There are some times that you have to have some other things. Totally agree with that. But God uses those things. And if you've got a sin issue in your life, or you're rejecting God's truth, or you're rejecting God's word, there's nothing you can do to fix that until you get right with God.
Right. Amen.
Period. You can take all the medicine and dull your senses. You can put earplugs in your ears and not hear it. You can put blinders on your eyes and not see it. But it's still God's truth.
Amen.
You can burn it up. It's still God's truth. What is sin is sin. What is holy is holy. What is righteous. What is pure is pure. And my Bible tells me this. If you know the truth will set you free.
Amen.
Do you need to be free this morning? You need to be free of your load of sin. Get saved today.
Amen.
You need to be free of things in your life, Christian. You're supposed to lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset it and run with patience the race. You need to let the truth set you free. God is faithful. With every temptation, He's going to make a way to escape that you can endure it. Well, I just can't help it. No, you won't let God work. It's time to start talking the truth. It's time to start standing on the truth. The church needs to have an open door policy. The church must stand for the truth. The church must stay pure. See, that is the work of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 and 28, 7, it says that He, God, Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse it, who? Us, the church, with the washing of water by the word. So if God says, thus saith the Lord, it's true. It doesn't matter what you think about it or what other people say about it, it's true. Homosexuality is a sin. Oh, by the way, living together and not being married is a sin.
Right.
Oh, by the way, same-sex marriages is a sin. All this stuff that mankind has come up, you just read Romans chapter 1, it talks about it. Is a sin. We need to stand for the truth, and we can't have that in the church. Because the church must stay pure. That He might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing of the water by His word. That He might present it to Himself a glory. You're not working for you. You're working for God. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. We can't have any of that in the church. You get saved, you get changed.
Amen.
The church must be pure by the work of God. The church must be pure by the will of God. In Romans 8:29, it says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many, what? Brethren. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says this, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Christ is not a homosexual. Christ is not a fornicator. Christ is not a sinner.
Amen.
He's none of those things. How do we say that we're doing the will of God and we're following Christ and we're worshiping Him when you're living against Him? You're denying the name of God.
Right.
You're denying the name of God. The church must stay pure. It's the work of God. The church must stay pure. It's the will of God. The church must stay pure. It's the way of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, that ye put off the former conversation. That's what you were. Of the old man, which is what? Corrupt. That's what you were. And corruption cannot inherit heaven. Where does that say? Go look, 1 Corinthians 15.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For this corruption must put on incorruption. which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed by the spirit of the mind. You got to think about this. And that you put on the what? The new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. True holiness. Not our idea. What he says is holiness. So it is the work of God. It is the will of God. It is the way of God. And there's a warning from God. There are churches today that have sinners sitting in the places of leadership of their church. What they call their church. There's a warning from God here. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, it's my last passage. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Not followers of ourselves, not followers of society, not followers of the world system. Because if your friendship with the world is enmity against God. And walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smell and savor. God didn't die on the cross so you could go do your own thing. Paul writes in Galatians, he says, don't use this liberty as a license to do what you want. Verse 3. But fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness. I want everybody to read this next phrase. Let it not be named once among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather what? Giving thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater basically says, I'm saved, but I'm just doing all this stuff on my own. There's no outward change. There's no inward change. There's no inward change. There's no outward change. You need to consider your relationship with God today. We need to stand on the truth. We need to be pure because that's what the truth says to do. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. There's a lot of people think that they're going to heaven, they're not. You might think you're going today, but you have doubts in your heart. Get that doubt out of your life today.
Amen.
Let no man deceive you. Look at this next verse. Let no man deceive you with vain words. There are people being deceived by the masses. Well, God loves everybody. No, that's true. He loves everybody, but he's also a just God. And he's a righteous God. And he's a holy God. And we need to have reverence for God. And we need to have fear for him. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Those Pharisees rejected God because they rejected the blind man's testimony. They rejected Jesus. They had the wrath of God abiding on them. The moment they died, they found out who God was. Jeconiah did the exact same thing. He said, I'll burn this up. I'll try to kill Jeremiah. I'll try to get rid of it and everything else. Once he died, he found out that there is a God. And it wasn't him. There's a lot of people who think that they know they're going to heaven, but in reality, they're going to find out they're not going there at all.
Right.
And Christ will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the wrath of God abides on you right now. God's going to take that judgment for you through his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Verse 7, be ye not therefore partakers with them. So this person said, well, I'm a Christian and I'm baptized. And I said, then you need to live God's truth. And you need to understand that what God's word says is truth. And that homosexuality is a sin. And you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, one that will free you. And then in the end, that person said, well, I don't believe in God and I don't care anyway, and hung up. The truth was said, folks. We still need to say the truth. You need to do it in love. We need to do it in compassion. But we need to say the truth. Have our speech with grace, seasoned with salt. But we need to be able to convince the gainsayers too. This morning, what is our answer? What is our answer to this thing about, am I having an open door policy? What is my answer to the fact, am I standing for the truth? What is the answer to the question, am I pure in my walk with God? Only you can answer that. What is your answer to, do I know Jesus Christ as my Savior? If you don't get that fixed today, get this all fixed today. Let Holy Spirit have full reign in the invitation. Let Him change your life and your walk and your demeanor. Come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. That's what Christ says. So that's what we need to do. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, I just ask to be with this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts. Father, help us, Lord, to understand that we all have need for You. Lord, we're all sinners. And as Paul said, I'm a chief. Lord, that's what You came to do, came to save sinners. Lord, help us, Lord. Save us today. Father, help us, Lord, to be cleansed today. Help us, Lord, to stand for the truth today. Father, have Your will and way, Lord. Have Your Holy Spirit have full reign in this invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I can